That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient. Comfortable. Ah.
Hello and welcome to the Empire Rolls preview show in conjunction with the Reading Chronicle. Well, we got a great week to look back on with a win against Bournemouth. We all enjoyed that one. But it's been quite a while since we've had our next game, which is coming up tomorrow against Stoke City. And to help me talk through the last week and all the positive things about Reading FC, I've been joined by Reading Chronicle's Matt Joy. Hi, Matt. How are you doing?
Very well, thank you. The rain has just started coming down outside my window in front of me here, but not much is dampening my spirits at the moment.
I've got to tell you, I just got drenched in that, Matt. Absolutely drenched.
Once we finish recording, then I'll hunker down and stick inside for a bit.
I would. But let's look back at the game last weekend against Bournemouth. What a fantastic performance. And Panovic must have been absolutely ecstatic about that after the match and during the week when you spoke to him.
Yeah, more or less labelled it as the perfect performance from his side, and it's very, very difficult to argue with that. In my player ratings this week, I think no one dropped below a sort of a 7 or an 8. It was such a good performance from everyone. That's what made it so impressive. I mean, sometimes we've seen this season players like, you know, Elise against QPR, a fair few examples of Lucas Joao where maybe one or two players really can change a game and turn it on its head. On Friday night, it was every single player played almost the perfect game. It was an absolutely brilliant performance. I tweeted out at halftime that I think I was going to need a lie down. And if it had carried on at that rate from the second half, I certainly would have done. Obviously, we didn't quite get to that point. But, you know, it went from being so clinical, so ruthless going forward, you know, so quick with the passing. Everyone was making the moves. Everyone was, you know, showing for into space, and things were just ticking so well, and Bournemouth couldn't deal with it. And then second half, sort of backs against the wall, batten down the hatches and hold on a little bit, even though, you know, we did push forward. But it was every single player played brilliantly, and it was the best performance, especially in that first half, that I can remember for a long time.
And amazing to have so many academy players on the pitch as well. Playing at that level, you obviously got Omar Richards, Rinomoto, you got Tom McIntyre, Tom Holmes, Elise. I mean, it's an incredible situation that we're in, but I want to pick out somebody who doesn't get much praise, and that's Tom Holmes. He does get some, but Tom McIntyre slightly takes the limelight off him, doesn't he? But I think Holmes has been absolutely fantastic this season. He's had his ups and downs. He's a young player, but that clearance when it hits him on the back of the head and then he celebrates, that sums him up, doesn't it?
Yeah, he very much sort of wears his heart on his sleeve, and he's very, very dedicated. What I've been particularly impressed with him is his willingness and his ability to sort of switch between positions. We've seen him playing in the sort of fullback roles. We've seen him playing at the heart of defence. And if you ask me right now, if you put two of his performances side by side, I didn't know anything about the player, and I had to say, was he a fullback or a centre back? It's tough to say because he's really shone in both positions at points during this season. And yeah, he's been remarkable. He's perhaps, as you said, gone under the radar a little bit, but. You know, he's shown what is great about this club in the academy. He's come into the side and seamlessly, I said, he may have had a few patchy moments, but I can't remember since he's come into the fray any sort of, you know, two or three games in a row where he might have dipped. It's been more or less, you know, the consistency has been there more or less ever since he's been in the side. And that's as impressive as anything else, is just how consistently good he's been.
Yeah, and now I said, you know, we're not going to talk about Tom McIntyre. I feel like we should, as an example of that, because he did have his dip, which we talked about loads of times on a podcast about the Preston game. But he's come back magnificently. 3 man of the match performances, a goal. He's just looking like, if you're Liam Moore, you're thinking, I'm going to get back in the team at some point. But we're not really missing him, are we? I mean, I can't play him a higher compliment than that, because Moore's been really, really impressive this season.
Yeah, Moore's been brilliant, but Tom McIntyre equally so in recent weeks. I mean, we've only seen it twice, but whenever you see McIntyre score and run away and celebrate, it may just be me, but I certainly get the impression that that is how a good 70-80% of Reading fans would celebrate in that position. You know, the joy on his face and see how much every win means to him, every goal that he has, you know, the two goals he's got, he has been absolutely brilliant. And yeah, Paunovic might have a few headaches when Liam Moore returns to fitness in the coming weeks. I think anyone who drops out of that side at the moment will feel incredibly hard done by. And, you know, Liam Moore has been exemplary, I think, so far this season, but he may have a task on his hands dislodging that back four, because they look very, very solid at the moment.
Yeah, another man is Sean Morrison. He's been fantastic. And Annie Rinomoto, he's not kind of getting as much praise maybe as Josh Lauren, because Josh Lauren has been amazing since he signed. There's no doubt on that. But we kind of take him for granted now. All the ugly things that he does during matches, which just keeps the team kind of secure at the back and also does enough work going forward as well. He's not going to be like Ovi Ejaria, but he's adding to his game all the time, isn't he?
Yeah, I do just have to quickly point out, you said Sean Morrison there.
Oh, did I?
Rather than Michael Morrison, which I did try, and I was trying to, obviously, people can't see this, but we have a little webcam to and fro here, and I was trying to mime it to you, but you didn't quite pick on. So,
Michael Morrison. By myself there.
I'm not saying any more than that, but I just thought to save some grief your end, I thought I'd jump in. Yeah, no, you're completely right. Everyone that you've named there, Laurent and Rinomoto in particular, I think, especially Josh Laurent, what I think, what I have felt with him is when he came in, he was a very good shield. You know, he knew his job and he was very happy to do it and very competent in that role of just shielding that back line and you know, disrupting the flow of the opposition. But I think perhaps in the last couple of months, he's really progressed, I feel, at his attacking game, the attacking sense of his game. I mean, the amount of times you see him at sort of 75, 80 minutes into a game, Reading maybe one or two goals for the good, and you think, a few of the players look knackered. Laurent will just pick up the ball, and next thing you know, he'll be 70 yards down the pitch. His fitness levels are remarkable, and so are Andy Rinomoto's. The fact that they've played so many games and barely had a break, and they've not, the performance levels of it either have not dipped, especially the application and the energy levels. They've not dipped. I would love to know what they eat, because they look like they have more energy after 90 minutes than I look like after 10 hours of sleep. So it's remarkable that they can they have, you know, fuel in the tank to keep going at this rate, and long may it continue. And then, as you said, Michael Morrison in behind. I've said before in this podcast, I think he's the best free signing that we've made for a long time. Josh Laurent might be running that close now, I think, on this season's performances. But yeah, Morrison has been absolutely fantastic. Paunovic has. He said in the pre-match press conference, we talked about, would Morrison's contract be extended? You know, he's coming to the end of his deal, and he is, I'm sure he won't mind me saying it, getting on in it, you know, past his peak years, shall we say. But as Paunovic said, it's not about age, it's about the performance level. We want, you know, Michael to stay at the club, because age isn't a factor. The fact is that he is such a rock and so crucial to Reading's success in the heart of that defence. And one more thing on him, you don't necessarily hear it over TV. I'm not sure whether you do, but at the grounds, you really hear Michael Morrison, especially. I mean, he is so vocal and he's, you know, so commanding at the back. And he's also got a terrible mouth in terms of the amount he swears.
Disgraceful, Michael.
Oh, it's awful. Awful. It's not very PG, some of the language. But no, he's been a real... just everything that's gone right for Reading in the last kind of year and a half, 2 years, you know, there were signs last year that something was coming around the Christmas period, you know, the Fulham away, it faded away, but players like Morrison have really encapsulated what is good. Going back to the roots a little bit, you know, getting the, blending the sort of, not the cheap signings, you know, but blending the intelligent signings with a few big name stars and the academy. When Reading get all those three things together, that is when they shine. And that's what they're doing at the moment, certainly.
Yeah, totally. I agree on that. We've made some actually really decent signings in the last 18 months or so, which is quite unusual for us, isn't it? Before that, we were making very erratic signings. But I've got to say, the most exciting thing about us at the moment is that teams know how we play. There's no surprise to us now, but we still keep on creating chance after chance after game. And that is a huge factor. That just shows that actually ability-wise, they just can't deal with the multiple threats that we have across the pitch. And I just think that automatic should be our aim now. It's going to be really tough, but I think we should go for it, Matt. What's your thoughts on that?
I certainly would agree that that should be the aim. I think, as you said, yeah, teams are starting to work out us, but you know, conversely, we're starting to work out other teams. Everyone's seen each other now. Everyone knows how each other plays. Having John Swift in the midfield, I think, has added an extra dimension. His, you know, the ball for Zhao's goal, I think that was Swift. But, you know, some of the things that he's been doing since he returned to the side have been really impressive. And he's definitely taken or picked up where he left off at the start of the season. Automatics, I think Norwich are certainly going to be in one of those two spaces. I would say that at the moment, even without my blue and white glasses on, I would say that you would probably be arguing that it's going to be either Brentford or Reading on current form. So that's going to be a very, very interesting game. Was that next Wednesday at the Medeski Stadium? I think that could be a real signifier of the progress Reading have made and how close they could be to the automatics. I think if you ask me this question next week and we picked up the 3 points against Brentford, I might be more confident in my answer. But I definitely think we'll be there or thereabouts.
Yeah, totally. What we have seen during the last week was the quietest transfer day ever, which in some ways is a beautiful sign of where we are. I know it's also down to the dreaded COVID world as well. But was one player that we were linked with, and Panovich has spoken about it, with Diego Rossi. Do you think there was any chance that was realistic at any point? And why do you think maybe it fell down?
Well, Panovich said that, you know, he was a player that the club were looking to get in on loan. He said that he was on the, you know, making phone calls up until about an hour or two before the deadline, trying to get that deal and perhaps others over the line. He did say that, you know, there's a certain element of clubs not wanting to take as many risks, obviously, both financially and in terms of bringing in players from far away, given the COVID situation. You know, there's a lot of aspects behind the scenes that have made certain deals a lot more difficult to get over the line, not just for financial reasons. But I think there was genuine interest there. But Panovich said that he wasn't concerned that, you know, that Reading hadn't made any acquisitions in the January window. He said that, you know, you kept the team together, you've kept that, the team spirit, which I think has been very, very important, especially in recent weeks. And all eyes now are on the contract situation, because sort of a week prior to the deadline closing, Panovich said that, you know, once the window's closed, that's when we're going to start, hopefully, you know, having a bit more of an idea of, you know, what the situation is with certain players. So, yeah, it's, you always hope for a big name or two, but I think the fact that, you know, I mean, just hypothetically speaking, what if a Premier League club had tabled an offer for Lucas Zhao? Mm. You know, if that had happened and Zhao, his head had been turned, and, you know, obviously this is all hypothetical, but then you wouldn't be thinking, oh, you know, I'm gutted we didn't bring in one or two players. You'd be thinking, oh my word, we've lost our biggest threat. So
yeah,
it depends how you look at it, I suppose. If you look at it purely on, okay, we may need one or two more reinforcements, but we haven't lost any. So I think there's an element of both.
Yeah, it does sound like we're going to be losing one of them at the end of the season, though, for sure. That's Omar Richards. It's sounding like he's very close to kind of finalising some kind of contract with a club. Obviously, Bayern Munich is being repeatedly linked with him. It'd be a big loss when he leaves.
Yeah, if and when he does go in the summer, I would obviously wish him nothing but success. I think you look at certain players at certain clubs and you think, yeah, they're going to outgrow that club. I remember thinking that when, not Reading related, but James Maddison was at Norwich City when they went up, and he obviously went to Leicester, and you looked at me and thought, yeah, he's just too good for this club at this point in time. And you do start to get that impression with Richards. The club and Panovich still, you know, remain hopeful that he'll sign a new deal, that they're working on getting something that he, you know, he would accept in front of him. I think of all the players, he does look like the most likely that, you know, to leave, but at this point, nothing's decided. Nothing has been finalised, and there's no concrete proof hit sort of this way or that way. So it'd be a waiting game. And I think over the next month or so, we definitely might get clarity on perhaps not Richards, perhaps a couple of the other players, i.e. McIntyre and Elise and Southwood and players like that. But it would be a loss if we lost Richards. Certainly it would be tough to replace, but it wouldn't be a surprise.
No, it wouldn't be. So let's move on to Stoke City, which is coming up tomorrow. They've been two of the dullest games ever away at Stoke in the last couple of seasons. 2-0-0s. I saw something on Twitter earlier about one of the exciting moments is when the corner flag was so windy they couldn't take a corner. I mean, that is kind of how it goes, wasn't it, with those games away. It's been horrible. We obviously lost them 3-0 at home earlier in the season. I'm confident we're going to win there tomorrow, but it's not going to be easy, is it?
It's not going to be easy, no, but you look at their recent form. They've been on a shocking run of form. I don't think they've won in the league since, I think it was mid-November time. So if there's ever a good time to play any club, it's obviously when they're on a run of difficult form. We've seen what Stoke can do. I didn't actually think Reading played badly against Stoke earlier in the season. They were just undone by a couple of mistakes. I think Estevez was guilty of a bit of a hospital pass in his own area. I think Gibson made a bit of an error for the third. Yeah, so there was those sort of individual moments, perhaps of a little bit of immaturity, a loss of focus, a loss of concentration. I think that's really what's been worked on by Paunovic and his staff. And we've seen, I don't think there's a mistake coming in this side, whereas at the start of the season, you thought after that winning run had ended and you know we entered that run of Preston and Stoke and games like that, you thought something could happen here. It could be a clanger from the keeper. It could be, but at the moment, you think, no, you're really confident that you're going to be solid defensively. Stoke aren't, I don't think, you know, the perhaps the most defensively strong side in the division. I think they've conceded about 30-odd goals this year. So they're not going to be a pushover by any means. But if ever you're going to fancy Reading to pick up an away win, given the respective forms of the two sides, you're probably going to back it this week.
Yeah, I hope so, because it'd be a massive win if we could get one there, because then it's just a gap between us and seventh place. I know I'm thinking going higher, but you just need that buffer there. And then it leaves. We're going to have a mini poor run at some point. I think it's almost inevitable. I think every team's going to have them. So what is your prediction going to be then for the Stoke City match then, Matt?
I think last week when I was on with Alex in your absence, I went for 2-1 and it finished 3-1. So I think if I go 1-0, it might finish 2-0, if that makes sense. If I predict that, we might go one above. So now I think Reading will win 2-0. I don't think it'll be a particularly, you know, I don't think the goals will be flowing in, but I think it'll be maybe 1 or 2-0.
Let's hope so. I'm going to go for 3-1. I think that we're flying at the moment, and I think we're going to keep on scoring goals. It just worries me when we play a team in such poor form. You know how it is as a football fan's head. You think, oh, it's going to happen at some point, isn't it?
But to be fair, it normally happens when I put a bet on that team to lose. So as long as I steer clear of putting any bets on Reading, which I will do, because that's obviously, I'll be betting on my own team. But you would back it. You would back it.
Totally. Thanks a lot for joining us, Matt. And Matt, we'll be back next week doing the preview with you again. Cheers.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Right then, now it's time for the view from the opposition with Ben from the YY Fuzz. How are you doing, Ben?
Hi, mate. Yeah, I'm good. Thank you. Weird period for Stoke right now. We're not doing particularly well in form-wise, but then we're still, I think, something like 4 points off playoffs last time we checked. So weird, weird atmosphere at the club at the moment.
Yeah, because you sit 10th, but your form has really kind of, I don't want to bring you down here, but slightly collapsed since the injury of Tyrese Campbell. Obviously, if you lose a key striker, we know that with Lucas Jarre, it makes a huge difference. But is it as simplistic as him being injured, or is there other factors?
There are other factors as well. Stephen Fletcher's been out. He's been our only other goal-scoring threat. So having to play someone like Jacob Brown up front, he's a young lad and will be good, but he's certainly not an out-and-out striker, and that's what we've been relying on him. Nick Powell has been playing up front at times. Again, as a striker, been doing a decent job, scoring a couple of goals here and there. He's been out as well, so it's either been him or Fletcher that's been out at any one time. We've been rebedding in the likes of Joe Allen, Sam Klukas, Johnny McCall after injury as well. Good players, and definitely the best midfielders we have, but Allen's been out for the last 9 months, so it's going to take him a lot of time just to get back to match fitness. Same with Klukas, same with McCall at his age. So they're the main reasons, really.
Yeah, well, I have to look back at that game that you played against us earlier in the season, the 3-0 defeat for us at the Medeski Stadium. That was definitely not an enjoyable day for Reading fans. But is that probably, or I don't know, possibly your best result of the season so far?
It's certainly the quintessential Michael O'Neill performance, I think. We sat back and defended very well throughout the entire game, and we nicked a few, you know, maybe with a little bit of quasi here and there. But, you know, we pounced on your defence, and I don't think that that's a mistake that you'll let us have again in this fixture this time around. Maybe I'm wrong, hopefully, but even then, I don't know if we'll have the firepower this time round. You know, Tyree scored that game. Jacob Brown came on off the bench to score in the last couple of minutes. I don't know whether we'll have that privilege this time round, but then we'll see, I suppose.
Yeah, I mean, I look back at that game and Estevez making a shocking mistake there, heading it right into the centre of the goal. I think that was Tyrese Campbell who scored that goal, wasn't it?
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. And just daft, right? The player crashed and rises to the post at the end as well. That looked that looked pretty painful.
Yeah, that kind of summed up the day there. That was Gibson. Just first of all, a terrible back pass, which was atrocious. And then just running into the post and just kind of like comedy capers that day. Because we could have had a goal early on from Semedo header, but just missed the target. And it was one of those games when I think it was one of those performances which we've improved from. I don't think we're so shaky at the back now by a long distance. But you never know, because Raphael put in a poor kick in during that match, and it's always possible. So I want to give you a little bit of hope, Ben, but hopefully not too much.
I think you've built on where you were at the start of the season. I think everybody said that the rate that you were scoring goals at compared to your shots was just unsustainable, and that was true. It turned out to be that way, but it seems like confidence and maybe just a bit better form, how you're playing as well, means you've been able to stay where you are in and around the playoffs. And I think that's good, really. That I think you alluded to it before, saying that that's not where you expected to be at the start of the season. No, you're not in the automatics anymore, and I think that's fair enough. But I think you've done well to keep something going and stay where you are. These are places that we at Stoke want to finish in. So for you to do that, I fully commend you with that, really.
Yeah, let's hope it lasts. That's what I hope. So yeah. Who would you say would have been standout players at Stoke City this season?
Oh, it's a tough one, because a lot of them have been injured in and out. Tyrese Campbell was probably the standout player till his injury. Adam Davis was playing ever so well in goal till he got injured. He was replaced by Angus Gunn, he got injured. Joe Bursic then came in back on loan from Doncaster, I think, and he was spectacular. Had a couple of shaky games, and he has been replaced by Gunn, who's come back from injury. So we've not really got anybody in form. Even Norrington Davis, who came in online from Sheffield United, he's banned for this game. So we've not got anybody in form, which is, I think, really good news for you guys, because that's what we've thrived off this season, like a bit of form. It's not really been a cohesive effort as a team. It's been individual quality, certainly up front. At the back, maybe a different story. We've been quite organised. But at the moment, I couldn't really pick out. Probably Nick Powell, if he manages. I think he missed out the last game through injury. He's probably been our best player this season, who's been consistently playing for me.
Yeah, and you also scored against us kind of last season in the first game back, I think maybe after lockdown, the last minute equaliser for Stoke City, which and more fun memory.
Yeah.
But it kind of like looking at Stoke City, you're saying you're not in form, and I know Reading fans will be listening to this and thinking that's just sending fear through our body, because you know how it works with football. Results can come from nowhere. We see in the Championship week in, week out. And you've got no wins in six. You've got, in your last 11 games, only 10 points. But there must be a route somehow Stoke City can get a win here. They're not so poor. They're not up to the bottom of the league. They're not like a Wickham. They've still got some quality in the team.
This is it. And it's just been a case of, for me, as simple as not having Tyrese Campbell up front. That's a big blow. But the second half of that is not having Stephen Fletcher and Nick Powell up front together. that's not something we've seen for quite a while. And I think today will be the first, or sorry, match day against you guys will be the first time we'll see that in quite a while. Both should be fit for this game, along with Jack Clark, maybe Matondo on the wing, James McLean as well. We might actually field a decent, not half-assed attack for once. Like, we've been sort of scratching just to find a striker, let alone a striker in form. So I'm hoping we can come at you with a bit of an armory rather than the makeshift. Because every time that we've tried to be on the front foot in a game, and I'm assuming that's the way we'll go with you guys, we've always suffered at the back because we've just tried to compensate. Before, we were able to have the attack breaking away with pace and the defence just sitting back. We've not been able to do that since Campbell's injuries. This is why I'm saying this probably will be a different Stoke that you're going to come up against this time, and it's good news for you guys.
Yeah, well, let's hope to see how it goes. I mean, I'm sure all the fans are still on side with Michael O'Neill at the moment. You know, you've had a bit of a wobble. The obvious reasons are there. I mean, what are the feeling for the Stoke fans towards your manager at the moment?
I think, on the whole, I think by many, he's still an excellent manager and has done ever so well with it. There are a couple of people now beginning to question a couple of things that he's doing. Like, we needed a striker in the end, though. That's not his fault. But some of the substitutions, some of the team selections, persisting with some of the players who maybe aren't match fit all the time, not playing certain players, letting some players go out on loan. Lee Gregory, for example, was one of our only strikers fit, and he's gone. So it's difficult. He's like any manager, they're going to start showing their flaws after a year or so, yeah. No matter how good or bad you are. But to be honest, his flaws have been way, way less concerning than some of the other managers we've had previous. And there's certainly no sign of us getting rid of him anytime soon.
No, I couldn't imagine. I mean, he's still running at a win percentage of 40. So, I mean, that's not a bad stat. I mean, I don't think that's terrible. Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's not terrible, especially without a striker for so long.
I mean, that's it. I think of Nathan Jones's win record. I think it was like 16%. Just wasn't good enough, right?
Not good enough for anyone, that is it. No. I'm going to keep you in a job. I don't care where you are. If we're just looking at Stoke for the rest of the season, what do you think would be a realistic target for you going forward now?
A realistic target? I mean, we're not far off playoffs. I think to show progress, we need to finish in the top half. I think we finished 16th, 15th in our seasons in the Championship since relegation, which weren't good enough with the squad we had. Having said that, you know, 12th upwards would be an improvement. I think a playoff push will be something desirable. I'm not saying we should expect to finish in the playoffs. I think we've been massively hampered in some ways, and we're massively out of four. It's around, but we'll see. I want top half. I think anything less than top half would be a very disappointing season, considering the start we had too. The playoff push would be nice.
Yeah, well, if you get a win against us on Saturday, everything can change, because that would put you right back in the chase, wouldn't it? So how do you think it's going to go on Saturday? What's your score prediction?
Oh, I mean, we've had so many draws lately.
Yes, you love them, don't you?
Yeah, and I'm going to predict another one. I'm going to go with a 1-1 draw.
Okay. I'm going to go.
I don't know where a goal's going to come from, but
no. No, I'm going to go for a win for Reading. I'm going to go for 3-1 to Reading, because we're just rolling at the moment.
Yeah,
I think we're playing quite well, send momentum and all our key players are coming back into form. So thanks a lot for joining us, Ben. I really appreciate that. We'll be back with a post-match podcast on Saturday. Cheers. Thanks for listening.